Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so excited because joining me today is Christina Bob. She is an attorney for President Donald Trump, and so she has stopped by the show. We're going to talk about her new book and about what she saw boots on the ground as she is fighting for election integrity. So that's on today's show. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Hit the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you could donate, or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May, and Clout Hub, so find me on those locations. If you're looking for some beautiful patriotic art, look no further than thecommandersartist.com. You need to go look him up, thecommandersartist.com. And when you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. Beautiful artwork, so go check him out, thecommandersartist.com. If Bidenomics has you down and things are just really hard and everything is getting more expensive as it goes on and credit card interest rates are just going through the roof, check out my debt reduction calculator. It'll help you pay off all your debt faster and in a constructive way, so you know what you need to pay first and how much you need to pay. And that is free. It's a free tool for you. And you can find it at theambermayshow.com. That's theambermayshow.com. Check out the debt calculator. Well, coming up, without further ado, is Christina Bob. I told you, I have the one and only Christina Bob joining us today on the program. Thank you so much, Christina, for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I mean, we're going to obviously get into your book because you wrote a book called Stealing Your Vote. We're going to get into that. But, you know, I kind of like to do like a little dive into who Christina is as a person. And you've had quite a life. I mean, thank you for your service, being a veteran. You're an attorney, you work for our president, President Trump, but you've also been a journalist. Like, how does all that happen? Like, so like, where did you start out to get to where you are today? How did that all?
You know, it's been a wild ride. Certainly nothing I could have planned out. I don't know. I mean, I'll take you through it, but it, like, people ask me, so what do I need to do, you know, to get to where you are in your career? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I just, you know, wanted an adventure and kind of went with the next thing that I thought looked like could, you know, be interesting. And it just never really stopped. But yeah, I was in the Marine Corps pretty much right out of law school. Once I passed the bar, I joined the Marine Corps. And I practiced civil litigation for a little while. I only intended to do the Marine Corps for one tour. I wasn't planning on making a career out of it, but I did want to serve at some point. So I did that and then realized that I loved it. You know, I got out and practiced civil litigation for a while and just thought, you know, I love national security law. Went back into the Marine Corps, went abroad to Germany, did a bunch of stuff with Germany and, or I'm sorry, with Europe and Africa, and then joined the Trump administration at the Department of Homeland Security, left that for One American News. Got into journalism and then joined the Trump team now. So certainly nothing I planned, but yeah, it's been an adventure to say the least.
Yeah. So did you know you always wanted to be an attorney? And so you, out of high school, you went to college to become an attorney? Is that?
No. So no? I was getting ready to graduate college and didn't know what I wanted to do. I do think I was born to be a lawyer. I love it. I love everything about it. But I didn't know that at the time. And it kind of sounded interesting to me and I had an opportunity to do it and I was like, let me try it. I'm going to try law school. I think it might be something that works for me. And I loved it. I'm probably one of the few people that actually enjoyed the classes. And yeah, I mean, I just really enjoyed it and kind of took to it. So
And then, so as like, were you practicing law when you went into the Marine Corps, or had you not exactly started practicing law and decided, hey, you know what, I want to serve my country. And then in the military, you started practicing law. How did that happen?
So I joined the Marine Corps like right after passing the bar. So there were a few months, like maybe 6 months, where I was doing, you know, juvenile dependency work, but I pretty much joined the Marine Corps right away as a new lawyer. And I joined the Marine Corps as a lawyer. So unlike the other services, when you join the Marine Corps as a lawyer, you still go through all the training. You still go through officer candidate school, the basic school, and then Naval Justice School. And, you know, we don't have a JAG Corps. So I was a Marine, but I was a lawyer. I was a judge advocate. So I practiced criminal defense in the Marine Corps. And then when I deployed to Afghanistan, I did operational law.
Wow. Wow. So how many tours have you been on?
One and a half. I did the full tour initially. And then I mobilized as a reservist for 18 months, which is basically half a tour. And that's when I was in Europe and Africa. And then I got out and moved to Washington, D.C. and started working there at the Department of Homeland Security.
Wow. And that's when Donald Trump picked you up, is when you were working in D.C.?
No, it's really funny because I was working for his administration. I was a political appointee in the Trump administration, but I didn't know him. I had no connection to him whatsoever. I just came in with basically no contacts. It was one of the benefits of the first Trump administration. People who wanted to get in could, because there weren't, you know, lines and lines of political operatives that have been doing this for years. So I managed to be able to join as a political appointee, but I didn't know anyone. I was just doing my job at DHS. And then I got out, and it's funny because even though I was working for his administration and didn't know him, it wasn't until I got on TV that I actually connected with him. He started watching my reports, and certainly I had a lot of coverage on the election, and I connected to him that way through my journalism.
Oh, that's funny. Did you and Kash Patel ever cross paths when you guys were working for the Trump administration?
I know him now. I consider Kash a friend now, but we didn't know each other at that time. No.
Oh, that's cool. Like, isn't it crazy how God works and like puts you in one path, and then all of a sudden you're in this path, and like you meet people you never thought in a million years you'd ever meet. I mean, isn't that just insane how God works?
Yeah, it's really funny. And, you know, I was sad when I left DHS to go to One America News. I didn't know there was a gap between leaving DHS and joining One America News where I didn't really know what I was going to do. And I was sad because it's like, I love President Trump. I wanted to continue to work for him, but I just felt like my time at DHS was up. You know, it was my time to go. And I thought, you know, I really wanted to work for him. I was hoping to maybe get to know him, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. And then a few months later, I was like, oh, he's watching my report.
That is so cool. Yeah. So see, I always knew I wanted to be in broadcasting. Went to journalism school. I worked in radio before I had kids. So I always knew that was going to be my career path. And for you, it didn't sound like that's what you always knew you were going to do. So I find it so fascinating that you end up going into journalism and did journalism. And that's kind of how I saw you on One America News myself, as I'd catch you there as well. And then you'd hit a lot of different, you know, platforms and get to speak on those platforms. But I think that is so cool. What is like a highlight you had when you worked at One America News?
I think the first time I got a call from President Trump, you know, and I tell the story a fair amount when I speak publicly, that I was a brand new, I had been a journalist for a couple months. I mean, I was very new to journalism. And I was covering the 2020 election, and on election, I was like, wait a second, what is going on here? This is bananas. There's nothing credible about this. And I was trying to report on it, and I was just getting buried. I mean, you know what it's like to just get absolutely buried when you're trying to tell people the truth. And I was so disheartened. Like, I can't believe this is media today. I know it sounds naive. Maybe I was naive, but I was really surprised at the level of hate and vitriol, not just from people, you know, people online, but like, CNBC was contacting YouTube trying to get my videos taken down. And I'm like, why does CNBC care what I'm saying? Like, I've been a journalist a couple months. Like, why do you have a problem with what I'm saying? And I was really discouraged. And I thought, you know, I'm just gonna keep telling the truth. I don't know if anybody will be able to hear me. It felt like everything was getting silenced. But I'm just gonna keep going, and I'm just gonna keep telling the people the truth. And I'm going to Arizona. I'm covering the Arizona audit. And if only 10 people hear me, if only one person hears me, you know, at least that person will hear the truth about what's going on. And I got a call from Donald Trump, and it turns out there was at least one person who could hear me. And that was really, really encouraging. And so I want to encourage everybody else with that too. When you feel like, God, am I making a difference? Is the work I'm doing, does it even matter? Mm-hmm. It does matter. Keep going, you know, just keep going, and we'll hit the light at the end of the tunnel. But it can be heavy at times, you know?
Mm-hmm. Man, you are so lucky that you got to meet the presidency. I got to meet his son at one of the Reawaken tours, Eric Trump. And
yeah.
I had all these things that I was going to say to him, right? And then as soon as I see Eric Trump, like, my brain fell out of my head. I'm like, hello. And then, like, I couldn't think of anything. I'm like, I've never been so close to a president's family before. I've never. Yeah. And the president that, like, I care about, the president mm-hmm. that's made such a difference in my life, right? To be that close to someone who I highly respect, because, man, he had everything thrown against him, and yet he accomplished so much. And it was the first president in my lifetime to realize we had someone who actually cared for the American people for the very first time. And so, yep. like, I mean him, like, whoa, like, it was just such a really cool experience for me, even though I didn't even say very much to him. I mean, meeting him, shaking his hand, taking a picture with him, like, meant the world to me. It's like,
yeah,
wow. And someday, I hope someday I get to meet President Trump in real life and shake his hand and hopefully give him a hug and say, thank you for being who you are, that yep. you cared enough about us as American people that you took all these bullets, you know, like,
yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I'm curious about your thoughts, but the Trump family is so normal. Like, they're for being billionaires and having, you know, the media presence that they all have and being the Trump name, they're very easy to talk to, and they're mm-hmm. very down to earth and very gracious people, considering, you know, what's funny about this. And I want to hear if you felt that with Eric, but what's funny about this is the Trumps are elite. Like, everything mm-hmm. they do is elite. Their properties are elite. Their mm-hmm. homes are elite. The way they dress, everything they do is elite, but they're not elitists. And mm-hmm. then you have these crazy liberals who haven't done anything, who are, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt through these crazy Ivy League educations, whatever. And they are elitists, and they look down their nose at people. And it's, to me, it's just how is it that people who actually are elite don't act like elitists?
Yes.
But then the people who have not done anything, you know, worthy of being considered elite, act like elitists.
That's true.
It's just
like the Trump family isn't trying to control every aspect of our life like the yeah. elitists are, like the globalists are trying to do. They just want to live life and have a great country and have, like, what Eric is fighting for his own children, you know, with
yeah.
joining, having his dad be the president of the United States, because he wants to have his kids live in freedom, just like he's been able to enjoy all these years. Same for me. I mean, I want the same thing for my kids. When 2020 happened, I was in such a bad place because mm-hmm. my best friend was dying of cancer. My dad was dying. And we just lost our election. Okay. And then all of a sudden, freedom of speech is being cancel culture is coming out. Like, I was in such a bad place in the beginning of 2020. I was like, my country's destroyed. They took my right to vote away because I'm right here in the heart of it. And I'm watching at the time Fox 10. See, when I went to journalism school, I still thought we had a free press. And we talked about other countries that didn't have a free press. And I'm still thinking we have a free press. And I'm like, watching Fox 10, because that's where I interned at when I was in college, and I'm watching Fox 10. And I mean, God is so great. I had no idea when I was interning at Fox 10 and watching Carrie Lake yeah. in action, knowing she was going to run for governor, having my friends in her circle. I had no idea that was going to be a thing. Like, God introduced me to her back then. Mm-hmm. Not that, like, we knew each other, but, like, I got to see her firsthand how she worked. I got yep. to be in the newsroom. And then my friends campaigning with her and working on her campaign. And I met her several times and not realizing she was going to run for governor all those years later, right? So I went to journalism school wanting to be that fourth branch of government to hold the government accountable to the people. But
yep.
I'm watching Fox 10 And I know our state went to Donald Trump because for the first time in my life, everywhere from southern Arizona to northern Arizona to eastern Arizona to western Arizona, Trump flags everywhere. I went to almost all the Trump rallies. The Trump trains were miles long. And so then the media tells me what I saw isn't true, that Donald Trump didn't win Arizona. I'm like, there was not hardly any Biden signs anywhere. And like we had to wait the first time before he became president, we were in downtown Phoenix and it was scary because they were throwing stuff at us. The building wrapped like four times around and we got there way like 2 or 3 hours early just to try to get in to see him and we couldn't get in. So I knew like go early to the Trump rallies because it'll fill up. And then they say Fox 10 as soon as the ballot box closed. Well, Arizona went to Joe Biden. What?
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey, friends, are you feeling constantly fatigued? Dealing with constant chronic fatigue where it's hard to get out of bed, it's hard to go to work, it's hard to play with the kids, it's just hard to do life? That's no life at all. And maybe you're overweight. Is it hard for you to lose weight? If these are problems that you're dealing with, perhaps you have a hormone imbalance. I would really highly recommend that you go see Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com because he is an expert in balancing hormones and getting our body working at optimal health. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, you just feel off. You don't feel the way you want to feel, like you did a couple years ago, 5 years ago. Maybe you've been dealing with this for many years. Stop dealing with it. Start living life. So go check out meehanmd.com. When you're there, let him know Amber May sent you because he can help you get the health that you want, restore your body's hormonal balances back to the way God created it, and make you feel better. And while you're there, check out his supplemental store. He has amazing supplements to help support all kinds of functions in the body. Whether you're trying to support your immune health, your gut health, maybe you have trouble sleeping, go check him out at meehanmd.com. When you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey, everybody. This is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable, super comfortable.
Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah.
So it's just insane. So when you were here in Arizona, what did you like? What did you think when you were here reporting? Like, what was your experience when you were here in Maricopa? I assume you still come down here.
Yeah. So I was raised in Phoenix. I went to high school there and I went to Arizona State University. So,
so did I.
Yes. I love it. I absolutely love Arizona.
That's where I went to journalism school there. Arizona State. Went to
the, is it Walter Cronkite? The Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. Good for you. That's a very good school. Yeah. So I've got a lot of ties there and I love it there. Like you, I never thought in a million years Arizona would vote for Joe Biden. And to this day, I don't think they did. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, in 2012, Barack Obama got a little more than 500,000 votes in Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. In 2020, Joe Biden got a little over 1 million votes. He literally doubled the number of votes in Maricopa County as Barack Obama. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I don't think twice as many people liked Joe Biden as they did Barack Obama, especially considering Biden campaigned from his basement. Mm-hmm. So you just look at things like that, and it just doesn't make any sense. And I remember on election night, I was at the White House covering the election with Chanel Rion, and we were waiting for Florida. You know, we were waiting for them to call Florida. And I think it was just a few minutes before or after they called Florida that they called Arizona. And I was like, wait a second. We skipped the entire country to call a swing state on the West Coast. No. And they only have, I think it was 75% of the vote in at that point. Mm-hmm. It reeked. It just absolutely reeked. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe it. I thought there were a lot of problems with it. And to your point about, you know, the fourth branch of government with the media, I kind of, not assumed isn't a great word, but just kind of operated under the belief that the media really did act as a piece of our national security, you know, holding our government accountable and flagging problems for us. And that was the first time I went, do they not? Like, are they not doing that? And it was very eye-opening for me. And then, you know, it's just like the avalanche you get dumped on. Everybody's singing the same chorus of, there's no evidence of fraud. This is the most secure election in U.S. history. You know, the sing song. Well, that's not true. There's plenty of evidence of fraud. They stopped counting. We've never stopped counting. They had mail-in ballots. They didn't check the signatures. I mean, they kept polling locations open. They stopped counting. They counted, I think, 1.5 million votes on election day, and then they couldn't count the remaining, you know, 400,000 in the next 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why did it take so long for them? You know, why could they do it on election day, but then they couldn't do it in the days afterwards? So there was a lot of evidence of problems. So I never bought that narrative. And I think a lot of Americans never bought that narrative. So I was excited to get out there when the audit started. I was excited to get out there and talk to a lot of the senators and volunteers, members of the House of Representatives in Arizona, volunteers. I mean, I spent months on the ground during that audit there every day at the Coliseum. And it was just a wild ride that just the amount of opposition that we received was mind-boggling.
So I know, right? Everywhere we went as the people. Yeah. I mean, praise God we had a state legislature that was trying to listen to the people, but that's kind of when I started getting involved with the local state legislatures, is like right around that time, like end of maybe 2020, because I'm like, I gotta do something. I can't just sit here and like cry because my country is going down the tube. I gotta do something. So I started reaching out to my state legislator, and he was saying, we are getting like 200 to 300 emails a minute. I'm like, what? Yeah. He's like, as I'm talking to you right now. And I was, that's why they did something. It's because all the everyday regular people bombarded them to where they had to do something.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we had a few of what we now know, it's a uniparty. Those few so-called Republicans in both the House and Senate ruined it for the real Republicans that were in the House and Senate. Yep. And deflected a lot of great legislation that could have really helped support the 22 election. And one of those guys is running for mayor in Glendale, Arizona. I'm just like really surprised. I thought his political career would be completely over after the stunts he pulled in the Senate.
And so, who was it?
Paul Boyer.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, the Senate was ready to call the sergeant in arms to go down to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. And he decided, nope, his vote quashed the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so he was a big stumbling block for a lot of legislation. And then at the time we had the guy in the House, he was a problem for a lot of so on both sides, we had these two fake Republicans, which we now know we have this uniparty where we would have Republicans just keep everything copacetic, just keep going, just the flow going until the Democrats would come in office. Yeah. And then the Democrats could get all their stuff done. And oftentimes Republicans would go along with it. It's just like, I'm like, now that I've been involved in local politics, I like pulling my hair. I'm like, President Trump, are you really wanting to be president again? Because politics is difficult. Like, just here locally, I'm thinking that. And I'm not even in office, right? But I've tried to write legislation and stuff like that. So I'm like pulling my hair out, like, really, we can't stick together. How come the Democrats can stick together? Well, that's because they have a uniparty. It's a uniparty.
Yep.
And now that you and I and everyday citizens are more getting involved, we're being able to point them out. And like, we've seen a lot of people in Congress step down from office because light is being shown on the swamp and they don't want the light to be shown. So a lot of people, have you noticed that, been slowly stepping out of office? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, they're losing their power because the American people are getting involved, and the American government functions best. Any democracy, but well, we're a republic, I get it. But any, you know, free nation governs best when a majority of its citizens are involved in government. I mean, it takes all of us to hold our government accountable. And so the American people had largely kind of gone silent and really just focused on their own lives and ignored government. Mm-hmm. And we see what happens when we do that. You know, it goes crazy. And I think some of the more faint-hearted rhinos who thought, hey, I can, you know, just be part of the uniparty and I'll keep my title and I, you know, I won't have to fight and I won't have to do anything hard. I think that once they realized you're going to have to fight to stay in that office, I think they just didn't want to do it. So thank you to the American public who are, you know, putting the pressure on them to force them to make that decision. But it's happening, and we need it to happen in state houses and state senates and mayor's offices, you know, and we need it to happen from the federal government all the way down to local county offices, putting pressure on elected officials saying, we know who you are, we know what you're doing, we know what you're about. And it can be good too. You know, if you have elected officials that you like and you think they're doing a good job, letting them know that you're watching and you agree with them, that's also helpful. So we just need people involved, and we're getting there.
Yeah. Are you at all worried about the 24 election?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm worried about our nation, right? I think there's a lot that can happen. I'm not worried in the sense, like, I'm very hopeful, right? I joke with my colleagues that I'm chronically optimistic, but I am very hopeful. I think there's been a lot of good things that have happened. We need more, you know, we need more people involved. It comes down to people getting involved, having eyes on, having people along the entire chain of custody, making, you know, it's the chain of custody that's really crucial. Yeah, we're getting there. You know, I don't think it's as secure as I would like it to be. I also think their plan for 2024 really is these court cases, these indictments of the president. And they're going to, unfortunately, just because of the way that the Department of Justice, the Biden administration has operated, they're going to factor into the election, you know, and I'd love to say, oh, they're trying, but it's not going to have any effect. It does have an effect, you know? So, I think that for me is the focus. I think we can clean up these elections, but we have to hold the Department of Justice accountable and make sure that they don't commit election interference.
Obviously, President Trump's a big threat because they're indicting him left and right. But now they're trying to go after him not even being on the ballot by going to different courts. And I'm really happy to hear that. I was honestly shocked at the news in Colorado when his team won. I'm like, what? What? This is Colorado. And the judge was totally against President Trump. What just happened? I mean, that gives me hope too, because if any state was going to take him off the ballot, I could have totally seen Colorado illegally interfering in the election by taking choice away from the people. And that's election interference, but I could totally have seen that happen. So I was like, kind of taken back. I was like, what?
Yeah, that was a great victory. And also, you know, in Michigan, Minnesota, we had the same victory in New Hampshire. But I think Michigan and Minnesota, they're not exactly, you know, Trump-loving judiciaries, right?
Right.
And so the fact that we're having these strong victories in what I would call very blue judicial areas, I think it just goes to show they don't have a case. Donald Trump is going to be on the ballot. He's going to be the nominee. He's going to be on the ballot, and he's going back to the White House in January 2025. I mean, there's nothing they can do about that. They're trying to make it as difficult as possible, and on that front, they're succeeding, right? They're making this hard, but that's as far as they've gotten so far.
And every time they go against Donald Trump, his popularity has risen. America people like the underdog story. I mean, they're always going to like the underdog story. So now I think for the first time, there's so many good that has happened with the stolen election with COVID. Mm-hmm. For one, we now know without a shadow of a doubt, we don't have a free and fair election. And I'm going to say it's probably been like that before President Trump's election got stolen from him. Because I think they were planning on having Hillary win, but they didn't count on him being so popular. So they had already started cheating for her to win. That's why she said he cheated. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
she accused him of cheating because she had already been cheating to steal votes away. They just didn't cheat enough on her election because they didn't realize how popular Donald Trump was going to be. So yeah. I really think for a long time, there's been election like first for I think Senator John McCain. I mean, living here in Arizona, and I always heard people say, how did he win again? How did he win again? Who's voting for the guy?
I think it was part of the Unit Party. Yeah, I was an Arizona voter at the time. I hate to admit it, but I did vote for him. So,
I mean, we had to vote for him at a certain point, but I just remember in the primaries, like trying to, I remember people saying, they voted for other people and they kept wondering, how is he winning? And like, what did he do for Arizona? That was the question. What are like, he was great for veterans. Praise God. I'm glad they had someone for veterans, but like every day. So I just think that there's been some election fraud. So 2020, a great thing. We had massive scale of election fraud that got exposed. COVID exposed a lot of things. COVID exposed the globalisms, the control of the globalism people that are trying to take over our rights to shut us down. I mean, there's just been so much good that's come out of it, and it's forcing those elitist hands to move in the broad of daylight because everyone's now watching. So we got to see the court case get defeated in Colorado. And then you said in Minnesota, what was the other state?
New Hampshire.
Yeah. So I think there's some good coming. I don't know if you've heard the latest about what's happening in Arizona with our attorney general and Mojave County. So Mojave County wanted to do a one-day paper ballot, hand count, vote only. Yes. That's what we all want. And the attorney general threatened them once again. I don't know if you remember, but the secretary of state then, Katie Hobbs, I interviewed the guy. They were threatened that if they canvassed the vote, they were going to be put into prison. Yep. So they were threatened. So he said, I'm doing this under duress.
Under duress, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so he canvassed the vote. And here Mojave County, again, is trying to stand up for the people, what the people want. What are the constituents of Mojave County asking for? One-day vote, paper ballot, no machines. So they wanted to do that. And then the attorney general is going after them again.
Right. Okay, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Do you love coffee? Well, you're not alone. Over 150 million Americans drink more than 400 million cups of coffee each day. But does your coffee love you as much as you love it? According to the University of Santa Maria in Brazil, the average coffee today contains up to 117 pesticides and over 30 mycotoxins. And long-term pesticide and toxin exposure has been linked to many health issues such as Parkinson's, asthma, depression, anxiety, ADD, ADHD, cancer, and more. So perhaps the problem is in your cup of coffee. But don't worry, Java Boost Coffee is here to help. With Triple Lab tested organic coffee, coconut cream, ginger, turmeric, and the newly discovered muscadine grape with over 100 antioxidants, and better still, no pesticides, mycotoxins, there's no roasting, brewing, grinding, measuring, or even sweetening. Java Boost Coffee reduces hunger and cravings, stabilizes blood sugar, and promotes mental energy and clarity. Just add a scoop of Java Boost to hot or cold water, and you're ready to enjoy the delicious cup of gourmet, healthy coffee for less than $2. How much are you paying for your unhealthy 117 pesticide and mycotoxin coffee? Look, we all love to drink coffee. Let's drink coffee that loves us back. Let's drink Java Boost Coffee. Simply go to cuppahealth.com today. That's cuppahealth.com. Be sure to use the promo code AMBER and save 20%. You can even order a single sample of Java Boost Coffee for just $1 and try it before you buy it. Just go to cuppahealth.com and use the promo code AMBER and save 20% today.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
Hey, friends. I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mogul, and I wanted to go to Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend, if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/Amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/Amber.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
I did see that.
I was kind of I love your legal expertise on this. I was kind of upset that they didn't stand up and say, okay, let's go to trial over this. Call their bluff on it. There is nothing illegal about what they were going to do in Mojave County. I'd love to get your take on that alone.
Yeah, no, I did see that. And it's really sickening because nobody wants to be threatened with prison. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea of even just being investigated for a crime is very daunting. I mean, I've had the FBI show up at my house, and it's just having that happen is uncomfortable, to say the least. And so I sympathize with the county commissioners that want to do this. I think they were completely in the right. And I love your fight that, hey, stand up, do it anyway. You know, it's hard to make that call when you're in that position. So I don't want to in any way put any condemnation on the commissioners. I think they're absolutely in the right. I think what the Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays is doing is actually criminal, and it is election interference. Is my take on it. I think it's abuse of her government office, especially when it's so questionable whether she actually won her own race. You know, nothing says I'm legitimate, like questioning an election and then threatening people with prison. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think the whole thing stinks. And Arizona's got a lot of work to do. But you guys are doing it. You are doing it. And you've got a lot of great people working on it. So I'm hopeful that we can clean up Arizona, but yeah, there's work to be done there.
I am hopeful too. And like you, I am hopeful too. When Donald Trump said he wanted to run for office again, at first I was like, but they're going to just steal it from him again. Right. But then as I really thought about that statement, because I want him to be the president again, I still view him as my president because he should be in the White House right now. When I think about it, I was like, well, we've had 3 years now of showing and yelling at the top of our lungs, it's not a free and fair election. And they're getting more blatant because they're getting more desperate. And we just talked about how one of the strategies was, okay, we're going to indict the crap out of him, and now we're going to take him off the ballot, and they're not winning in any of those situations. And it's getting more and more obvious to people, oh, maybe we don't have a free and fair election.
Yep.
Even if they might have thought the past like election might have been free and fair, maybe they're now questioning that. And then if they do, because I'm sure they will, try and steal the vote again, and let's say we have a similar situation where he doesn't win, I think this time it's going to be different, because we've had now 3 or 4 years of sounding the alarm, showing the election interference. We had the audit, like, and then the thing that happened, was it in Michigan or Wisconsin that came up?
Wisconsin.
Yeah. And we're seeing this like in state by state by state by state. And so I think this time, if they steal the election, we're going to have the court of public opinion now on our side, which is going to put a lot of pressure to fix. Well, I don't know. What's your take? Because you're the attorney. You've been in this, boots on the ground. This is just my thinking out loud kind of voice.
I think we need to win. I think this is an all hands on deck moment. I think we need to win in 2024. I think it will take a few cycles to fully clean out our elections. But as far as the presidency goes, we need to win it, because if we don't, they're going to throw us all in jail, quite honestly. They've already weaponized the Department of Justice, mm-hmm. and they're going to weaponize it more. And we have to win. I mean, they're already trying and starting. Look at what they've done with the January 6th protesters. Mm-hmm. They're throwing their political opposition in prison. Mm-hmm. So everybody who's worried about it needs to get involved. Everybody needs to become a precinct committeeman, needs to work the elections, become an actual election worker with your county, become a volunteer, become an observer, join a campaign. Everybody needs to be involved. You don't have to be involved for the rest of your life, but you need to be involved for 2024.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. So an easy way to do that is finding your legislative districts and contacting them and letting them know that you want to be a precinct committeeman. I got so fed up with what was happening in Arizona that I'm like, where is a legislative district meeting? I'm going to go.
And Good for you.
I Googled it. I found it. I spoke at one meeting and the lady was like, you're going to be a PC. I said, I don't have time. We argued for 30 minutes. I conceded. She won. I became a precinct committeeman. And I'm glad because you know what? I now have a little bit more say in the Republican mm-hmm. Party in Maricopa County, which will have a say overall in Arizona because I get to send delegates to the Arizona Republican Committee. And that's how we start making a change is we yep. have to, people are so sick of the Republican Party. Well, I want to make our party better. And how do you get better is doing, getting in and doing. And so if you have to be a part of be a precinct committeeman, you get to vote where a regular registered Republican doesn't get a vote in how the party yep. runs. You get a vote. And then you get to meet with your state legislators one-on-one. You get to help out with campaigns. There's just so much RLD is doing. And I'm very proud to be a part of our legislative district because they're really trying hard to get the vote out. And they have a plan, man. They are so strategic. Our LD is very strategic. So if you need ideas for your legislative district, I'm happy to put you in contact with the leadership in mine because they're very strategic and I'm very proud to be a part of that.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm so happy to hear you say that. And everybody needs to get involved in whatever district you're in, whether you're in Arizona or any other state, get involved with your state house, your state Senate, become a precinct committeeman and we can change this. We can absolutely change the trajectory of our elections.
And if you want to get involved too, Mike Lindell has an organization. Tell us about that organization Mike Lindell has put together.
Yes, I am so grateful. So grateful for Mike Lindell. I haven't seen him recently and I wish I could just like, you know, shake him again and say thank you for everything you're doing. But he has an organization called causeofamerica.org. It's C-A-U-S-E, causeofamerica.org. And wherever you are, wherever you are in the country, whatever county you're in, whatever precinct you're in, if you want to figure out how to get involved, you can reach out to causeofamerica.org and say, hey, I live in somewhere, Oklahoma. I want to get involved. How do I do that? They will put you in touch with someone in your area who is working on election integrity in your area, and they will get you plugged in. Not all the organizations, I think actually most of the organizations are not actually run by Mike Lindell. It's a network. Mm-hmm. It's a network of organizations. So causeofamerica.org, get involved.
And you can also find Cause of America if you have the Frank Social app. And I encourage everyone to get the Frank Social app. You can find me and follow me there too, Amber May, because Cause of America is there by state and you can get involved that way too. So causeofamerica.org or the Frank Social app is the way to go. So how did you come across, how did you start your book? Like, I love it. The title of your book, Yes, Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 24. Tell us about your book.
Right. So I didn't actually like intend to write a book. I wasn't trying to write a book, but I was on the ground in Arizona and I ended up spending a lot of time in Arizona. I spent a lot of time on the ground in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan. I was in all the key areas talking to state legislators, talking to elected officials, volunteers, county clerks, anybody and everybody who would talk to me about what happened. And I was doing it as a reporter. I was an investigative reporter with One America News. And I was just getting so much information and so much content. I didn't have enough airtime to air it all. So I just started writing it all down. And I like to joke that I accidentally wrote a book. So it's really just my story of investigating the election fraud and what I found and what I looked into. And there's a lot of conversations in there of, you know, people who were there, who saw it, eyewitnesses, and what happened and what we need to do for 24.
What was your experience when you talked to the state legislators in those other states?
So the way I like to summarize the book is, and this is very true for the state legislators, Democrats cheated and Republicans covered it up. Mm. I found that in the key states like Arizona and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, there were one or two legislators who were like, this is wrong, this is really bad, you know, and they were really kind of the bulldogs pushing, pushing for transparency. Mm-hmm. And then you had the rest of the Republicans were kind of like in vapor lock, like, oh, I don't know what to do because I don't want to do it the wrong thing. So I'm not going to do anything and I'm not going to take a side. And then you actually had some Republicans that worked really hard against us that didn't, that they may as well have been Democrats. I mean, they were working hard against what their constituents wanted, and all of those conversations and the things I found are in there. But this is the good news. So a lot of people get frustrated when I say Republicans covered it up, and it is very frustrating for all the reasons it should be frustrating, but it should also be very encouraging because the reality is all we have to do is clean up our own side. Mm-hmm. We don't have to clean up Democrats. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to, you know, turn water into wine on this one. All we have to do is get rid of the rhinos. We just need to clean up our own side. They don't have enough votes. They have to cheat in Republican districts. They have to cheat in Republican areas because they don't have enough votes, even in Democrat cities, to steal the election. They have to cheat in Republican areas too. So just get involved, and we can do this. We absolutely can clean up our elections, but we have to clean up our own side of the aisle.
Can you, like, did you ever think this is where you were going to be like 10 years ago? Like,
no, never in a million years. If you had no, I could not have ever fathomed it.
Yeah.
I don't really know how I got here, but I'm glad that I am here.
Me too.
The whole idea that I work in elections, and I know I work on elections for President Trump now at Save America, and I just like how, what? I've never really been political, to be honest. I didn't consider myself a political person until 2020. And yeah, it's kind of crazy, but I think that's what's happening right now. There's so much opportunity. Whenever you have chaos like this, and whenever you have a lot of opposition, it brings opportunity. Mm-hmm. And for people who are willing to take some risk, there's a lot of opportunity out there. So
I agree with you. I mean, like you, so I hadn't broadcasted in 10 years. So I'm like, you know what? That's it. I'm frustrated. I'm going to start a show on YouTube. And I hardly had any followers and they were shutting me down. I'm like, what are you doing? You're shutting me down. Like, why? Why me? So you know what? But then God has used it, even though I am not on a huge network like a CNBC or a Fox. Like, I've had big people come on the show because at least it's a place they can tell truth.
Yep.
The other places, they're not allowed to tell truth. They are censored. And you're right. It created an opportunity for real people to be able to have platforms so that we could get these messages out to the masses. And mm-hmm. And you know what's really great about it? It's on everyone's phone. Everyone has these messages on the palm of their hand. It's not that they have to sit in front of a TV and wait for Fox News to come on or CNBC to come on or CNN to come on. They get this information as soon as it comes out on their phone, which has created a lot of opportunity. So now that's another reason why they've gone after podcasters, is because it's a voice where you, who are on the front line seeing election fraud, gives you an opportunity, even though you're a journalist too, but like just an example, gave you an opportunity to be able to get out there. And now we're like this competition for mainstream media because we're the truth tellers and they've been wanting to shut us down and they hate that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what you're doing is essential to saving this country. And there are so many podcasters out there that are doing it. And I'm grateful for it. And what the change in media, I love it. And everyone jokes like, oh, everybody has a podcast these days. Good. Good. You know why? Because it decentralizes media. Mm-hmm. People get their information from, you know, 100 different sources as opposed to three, right? There were three big, and there still are three big networks, main networks where people get their information from. And they had a monopoly. They had a monopoly on information that went to the American public, and now they don't. I mean, they still are the big three, but they're not the only voice anymore. And so it's essential what you're doing. So thank you. Thank you for doing it. Whether you feel like, you know, you have two followers or a million followers, what you're doing is really, really important.
And what you're doing is really important too. And so I could relate to a lot of the things you shared in your story, because I'm like, yep, that's me. That's me. Like, I could totally relate. And, you know, so God told me to start my show back up. Like, again, he put this passion in me, and I sit here and I don't know President Trump in person. Like, I've never met the guy, but I've met people in a circle that I never thought in a million years I'd ever meet. I'm just like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, God, you're really doing something here. It's kind of exciting to see. God, you're really at work. You've brought all of these people together. And it's just so cool, because we all have this mutual friend, and God has brought all of us together with this mutual friend. And state by state by state, we've been able to share this news of what the truth is, and bring people back to God. Because if we don't bring people back to God, then really no hearts change. The swamp's going to stay swampy. The people in power are going to stay ruthless and not care about the people. So bringing people back to God is essential. And then sharing the truth about what's happening on with election fraud, medical fraud, and all the fraud that's going on. And it's just been an incredible ride to see in 3 years how much God has brought so many families and people together and build friendships and connections. See, that's one thing about COVID. It showed they wanted to separate us. Why? So we get defeated. We can't talk amongst each other. We see, when we come together, we are collective, and we have these ideas, and we can exchange ideas. Like, you can give me ideas, Christine, and I can give you ideas. I can share experiences that I've had, and you can do the same. And then we'll learn from that, and we'll grow, and we'll come up with ideas. And maybe they won't work the first time, but maybe they work the second time. Maybe we get better ideas and start crafting new and improved ideas on the old things. And then suddenly, look, now we have our free country back. Like, I see God's hand is moving, and I love that you're so positive, because I try to bring that too, because there's so much crap in the media. There's so much things to be, okay, we have an open border, and that's really hard, especially, you know, living in Arizona. It's really hard to have an open border state, and that's a bad thing. And living expenses are really getting people down, because it's hard to live and feed your family. But there's so much good too, but you have to see it. You have to look for it. Yep. And that's what I appreciate about what you do, because you're a glass half full kind of person. And I want to bring hope, because if you don't have hope, you have nothing to fight for.
We have a lot of hope, and we have a lot to be hopeful for. It's real easy to see the waves around us, and, you know, see the turmoil and the chaos and everything that's happening, and go, oh my gosh, how do we get through this? We can, and we will, but we all have to get involved and do our part. It's not enough to just sit and hope, right? We have hope, which is great, but you have to act on it. This really is an all hands on deck moment. We need everybody involved.
So if people want to get a hold of your book, Stealing Your Vote, how do they get a hold of your book?
You can go to my website, christinabob.com. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold.
That's wonderful. And so if I could ask you for like a couple of, I think we've talked about it a little bit on the show, but if we could just summarize, the most important thing I'm hearing is from you, we really need to show up in numbers and not be defeated, because I know in 22, people didn't want to go and vote. I'm not going to vote. My vote doesn't matter. They're stealing it anyways. What I'm hearing you say is we have to go out in numbers, in massive numbers, and get out there and vote, because it makes it harder for them to win in the cheat. Did I understand that right?
Yeah, but I would go further, not just to get out there and vote, get out and volunteer, become a part of the process, become a precinct committeeman, work your county, become an observer, a challenger, an election official, get involved. Yes, everybody needs to go vote, but we need you involved in the process.
Yep, that was going to be my second step. If we could summarize today's show, I was going to say, get involved somehow, some way. And I think also an important, would you say that we use our money too and mm-hmm. support the candidates we really believe in, because I think the RNC is broke as far as I'm concerned. And I don't even know that I'd want to send any money to the RNC, and I'm a precinct committeeman. So I also think we have to support, especially the local guys who don't have a huge budget. I think we need to donate some of our money and our time to volunteer on their campaign, because we want the real good, true loving Americans to win office this time.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, you know what, Christina? I've had so much fun spending time with you today. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.